Well, there's a lot of emotion in those prayers that King David prayed, like a big war going on in his soul and in his heart and all around him too. So any troubles you've had, I think he had, and he probably had them a little bit more intense, we'll have to say, being the position of responsibility he was in. About 30 years ago in one of the Pittsburgh newspapers, there was a contest where you could vote for the number one morning disc jockey who would play things on the radio, and you know, people could write who they thought was number one, send that in, and competition was pretty fierce. You had the KDKA with the John Cigna way back then. You had WDVE, which Fred Angelari could tell us who those DJs were. That's the rock station. John Pellis also asked John about that. Their BC days. But in the B94 thing, too, you know, you had the Bee Gees, you had the Saturday Night Fever crowd. That's those one with the, you know, the nice seats still to this day. Just kidding. And then we got the WPIT, which later became known as Word FM. And their disc jockey, Dusty Rhodes. Okay, Dusty Rhodes was about 30 years old. That's all he did was play Christian music till about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, I can't remember. But he was the disc jockey for the little Christian station, you know. And Dusty Rhodes won as the most popular DJ in the Pittsburgh area, and much to the chagrin of everybody who said, you know, who is that and what is that kind of music? But it was a big praise to God. Well, he had something in his DJ time called Kids Corner. Played it every morning, and at the end of the Kids Corner, the song for the children, he would say, children, go out and have a great day today, because God is going to be with you all day long today. So have a great day. He would say that 5 days a week without fail. And, you know, from the Psalms, if you took the Psalms as a whole, you might be able to say, hey, go out and have a great day because God is going to show his love to you all day today. So go out and have a great day. The steadfast love of God, which is very prevalent in the Old Testament and in the Psalms especially. So God's love in the Psalms, known as unfailing love, steadfast love, has the idea of strength and permanence with it. Okay, that's the kind of love you want. Strength and permanence. You don't want God would say sometimes our love is like a morning cloud. You know, a morning cloud, it's there for about half an hour, and then where did it go? You know, the morning fog is gone. So the steadfast love of God in Psalms 11, 12, and 13, God's goodness is contrasted to man's rebellion. Always look for that in the Bible. The goodness of God and, you know, our troubles, which we create. God's people are under attack. The bow is drawn to shoot them by the enemy. And so David says, you know, should I flee like a bird to the mountain? That's a good illustration, being I'm a bird owner. And I know for the birds, you know, you can see, you know, they took off like a bird. That means if there's a little bit of noise or something unexpected, my dear bird is going to go, phew, it'll be gone to the top of the cage or top of the refrigerator or wherever it's not supposed to be because of the noise, any sudden danger. So David said, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to run from the danger that's around me. And he begins to describe the attacks on him. It says in verse 5 that God hates the wicked. Now that's a rough saying, but it's true in terms of the enmity that humanity has attacked God with. God hates the wicked. So it's a warning that if we declare war on God by our sin, you know, God will attack and he will take no prisoners. God takes the wicked. So even though the bow is bent at you and I, God says that he'll rain fiery coals, burning sulfur, and a scorching wind against those who are against God. Okay, life will not be pleasant. And the heartache of a lost person is rough. And God opens the door, you know, for them to know Christ, for us to know Christ, if we're against God in some manner. So the war goes on. God will come to the rescue. Psalm 12, God will stop all lying, flattering, and boasting lips. I was watching a commercial the other day. My son and I, Sean, we just laughed. We just busted out laughing because it was for a Deere truck. Okay, trucks are real nice and everything. But the literal words of the truck commercial, GMC truck, was, wouldn't you like to have this truck or something like that? And then they said, you can be in control. And then he came up with this exact phrase. Would you like to be all powerful? All powerful. I thought, all powerful. If I was all powerful, it would be a sad day. And certainly if I had an all powerful truck, you'd have to beware on the road. But the Lord cuts off all the boastfulness of man. You say, oh, that's a kind of a silly thing. Not so silly for the ones who are going to buy that vehicle. Perhaps heart too wedded to it. But the Lord will stop our foul mouth, as it were. And contrasted to that, His word, and what He says, is flawless. It's like silver purified 7 times. Okay, it's without fault. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's a good reminder for us as we share the gospel, God's word is flawless. You could say God's absolute truth in creation is flawless. If you're ever talking to a person and say, I don't know if you could have flawless truth nowadays, you know, that's too much. I don't know if we could trust anything that anybody says, let alone this 2,000-plus-year-old book here. And you could just politely say to the person, you know, engage in loving conversation, do you believe that there's absolute truth in the world around you? I don't know. Do you know that water always boils at 212 degrees all the time? It's done so for centuries and centuries and centuries. And you know, certain paper goes up in flames at 451 degrees Fahrenheit, and gravity has so much pressure per pound on you so that you can't dunk a basketball like you would want to or something like that. But there is absolute truth that we could observe in creation. Why can't there be absolute truth in terms of what God would say about how to live and who to trust and how good He is? You know, certainly it's a good thing to hold on to. God's word is flawless. Put your trust in Him. He won't forget about us when we're in trouble. And then Psalm 13, David's in trouble again. He says, how long, O Lord, every day I have sorrows in my heart. That's a rough year. It's a rough month. It's a rough week. Every day I have sorrows in my heart. He says, my enemies seek to triumph over me. He says, what if I sleep in the dust? What if I die? I feel like I'm going to die if things don't change. And then he prays this, chapter 13, verse 5. I will trust, Lord, I will trust in your unfailing love, your steadfast love. And my heart rejoices in your salvation. And he says, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. And so to put your heart toward God and His steadfast love. You know, what's the steadfast love of God? What's that all about? NIV says unfailing. Mentioned 240 times in the Old Testament. One of the biggest themes of who God is the word steadfast love, hesed in the Hebrew, 90 plus times in the Psalms. So when we're singing and praying, we say, I remember His really strong, permanent, reliable love. Combination of strength, grace, and agape. Taking action towards the undeserved. That's you and me. His steadfast love. Here's some other translations for the word. If you have I think it's ESV, you got the steadfast love. If you have King James, you have loving kindness. If you have NIV, you have unfailing love or mercy. Sometimes it's covenant loyalty. God says, I'm going to stick with you like this. Wednesday night, R.C. Sproul on the tape said, God's loving kindness is like sticking with the stuck. You know, you're supposed to stick with the stuck. That's a strange way to say it. I mean, what does that mean? You stick with those who you're stuck with. Stick with the stuck. And stay with, God will stay with you because you belong to Him. Okay. So that's the steadfast love of God. Some things David expressed. I trust in your steadfast love, even in danger, death, or defeat. Psalm 36 has God's steadfast love in it and compares to the big creature, perhaps an eagle, covering the young one with wings of protection. Maybe a hen with the little chicks, who knows. But the Lord will be your refuge, and we can rest in the shadow of His wings, His steadfast love, like the hymn, under His wings, I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens, tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him. I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Just that wonderful, steadfast love. Here's another good one. The paths of the Lord are steadfast, love, and truth to those who keep His covenant and testimonies. So we have a responsibility to put our trust in God. If we trust God, we'll know God as God. See, if we have faith in Him, we'll taste His steadfast love. If we kind of say, I don't need it or want it or whatever, then we won't. But His paths are steadfast love and truth. It reminds me of Jesus saying, I'm the way. I'm the only path to the Father. Okay, Jesus is the steadfast love and truth from the Father. And it's a wonderful thing. Here's something to know about God's steadfast love, important. So we're in a position of saying, oh, how much I need Him. In the Bible, steadfast love is sometimes mentioned person to person. In a marriage, good. Friend to friend, Christian, good. That's good. Not so many, though, out of 240, maybe 15, 20, person to person. Rarely steadfast love, person to God. David never says, as a matter of fact, Lord, I have steadfast love for you. Because he knows it's not true. It's just not. Almost always, steadfast love of God for the person. Okay. He's the only one who will change our lives. He's the only one who teaches us how to love. And so any love we do, loving God, loving our neighbor, will come from where? Come from the steadfast love of God. See, and we have no credit for it. Do you take any credit for your breathing this morning? Take any credit for it? You've been breathing, some of you, for the last hour or so. You know, you breathe because God, He lets you breathe. He gives you the lungs. He gives you the oxygen. He gives you the heart to keep it rolling, you know. And when you're in trouble, sure, you throw yourself into it. That's good. But for the most part, and even then, it'll be His steadfast love allowing your life to continue. But His steadfast love is what helps you and I to love. In fact, we have no love to give. If you look into your own soul, we have no love to give other than the love of God that He'd shed abroad in our hearts. So to look to Him. Put your trust in Him. The gospel, the good news call, is not a call to work harder to reach God. So much of religion, so much of preaching us and so forth. You can pray more. Come on. You can obey more. Come on. You can sing more. Come on. A little smile on your face when you're singing. Come on. You know, a little smile on your face when I'm preaching. A little something. Come on. Man's religion. You can work so hard, you'll never reach God like that. You know. But it's God's work of reaching out to you and I. Oh my. The cross of Jesus. A changed life by His Spirit. Oh my. You know, I don't need directions for saving myself. I need truth of how God saves me. Because you and I, as desperate as we were when we were lost, we are today to know His steadfast love. And even it creates health in us. The writer said, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever. Olives are big in the Middle East. That's why this illustration is used. You have Mount of Olives. You have perhaps olive groves in Gethsemane, in that area, vineyards and so on. But olives produce a lot of health. Just we've rediscovered olives in our family recently. Did you know, just to put a pitch in for the illustration, olives help you when you're nauseated. Okay? Instead of taking Tums, have some olives. You'll be like, oh, I feel a lot better. You know, this is put out by the Olive Farmers Association of Olives. Okay, all this information here. But what else does olives do? Lowers blood pressure. You could take a supplement, all the medical people in here, as to whether this is the truth. Or you could say that preacher was off today. It's good for fiber. Relieves inflammation. Takes away wrinkles. There you go. I got my wrinkle. Takes away the wrinkles. Prevents bone loss. You know, I'm not going to fall down and break my hip. Olives. But it's, of course, not to stretch the point. But just the health that God produces in us. Not from the olives, but from His steadfast love. Okay. All that stuff I said, you know, better spiritually to know the steadfast love of God. You'll be like, oh, man, I'm blessing other people like a green tree. And then if you turn to God and say, I need to know love, to trust your love, Lord, help. What does He do? We turn to Him, Lord, You are good and ready to forgive, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on You. What do you need to do to have this steadfast love, you know? How about if you beat yourself up for a while or make a promise you'll never put your Bible down again or whatever you want to do, but you call on God. I need Your help. And His steadfast love is abounding for you, very abundant. Okay, and in closing, this is a quote from my old preacher friend here. It says, God's steadfast love so great, He forgives great sins of great sinners, even after great lengths of rebellion. And then He gives great favors and great privileges and great enjoyments and eventually takes us to a great heaven of the great God. Okay, nothing small about God, abundant, steadfast love that we are always in desperate need of. Hey, the Lord gives very much so, very much so. So you're a very, very loved person, ready to pass that on, or at least point people to the good, steadfast love of God. And we're glad He's that way. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for expressing Your love through Jesus at the cross. That was very steadfast love of You to sinners, to folks killing You, to runaway disciples, whatever the case was. You were saying, I'm coming with salvation. I'm coming with forgiveness. And even to any of us here this morning. So might we all say, oh, I trust Jesus, His steadfast love, He'll take me to heaven. And He'll help me walk with Him this week. And it won't be my efforts, but it'll be His provision and my trust in that great, strong, steadfast love of God. Just surround your dear people with who You are, Lord, and might we pass on what we've received. In terms of Your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.